Cuba remains an exotic tourist destination, and within Cuba, there is a remote little town exotic even to Cubans. It was founded more than a century ago by Lutheran fishermen of Scottish and English descent. Today, only two people live there who speak the English of their forebears. Nick Miroff reports from Cocodrilo on Cuba's Isle of Youth.
On a map, Cuba's Isle of Youth looks like a giant comma floating in the sea. 90 miles southwest of Havana, it is roughly the size of Long Island. The swampy southern half is a restricted area controlled by the Cuban military. A single road runs through it, and at the end is Cocodrilo, Cuba's most isolated town and home to some 300 residents.
Yes, my name is Agustin Suebe. Agustin Suebe Hides. I born here on this little island, and I'm 62 years old. My parents are dead. My father been now in October be 31 years that he's dead. So I figure that soon won't be none of us live here.
Agustin Suebe is a tall, wiry man with furrowed cheeks and skin like sun-cured leather. Of his 11 brothers, he is the last one remaining in Cocodrilo. The town was originally founded as Jacksonville in the early 1900s by seafaring English families fleeing acute poverty in the Cayman Islands. They built a small settlement around a Lutheran church and English school. The Caymanians caught blue marlin and swordfish, harvested turtle shells and shark hides, and lived for decades completely cut off from the rest of the Isle of Youth and mainland Cuba. Today, the seaside town is little more than a string of wooden houses and low-slung concrete buildings. Traces of the original Caymanian settlers are evident in the blonde, blue-eyed children who play ball and chase the crabs that scuttle in the stands of banana and palm trees. But these children do not grow up speaking English with the musical Caribbean lilt of their forebears. And there are now only two English-speaking Caymanians left, Mr. Suebe and 62-year-old Winston Powery.
When I was a kid, that was a big change. Very few speaking Spanish people was here. One family lived at the end with the only Cuban. And a couple of these other ones up around the lighthouse there. But all of us was Caymanians. The name was Jacksonville, always called Jacksonville.
Prior to the Cuban Revolution, residents had to sail up to 3 days for supplies or medical attention. Agustin Suebe says Cocodrilo was always what he called a poverty place.
I never passed such bad days, but my brothers did. My oldest brother now that is in Caymans, 80-something years old, he was working from time he was a child. He worked from time he's small. I remember every time my mother used to talk to me about him, she used to cry. Cry because she said she remembered the hard days that poor child of hers passed in this land working so hard to try to make something.
Despite their hardscrabble existence, local historian Juan Colina de la Rosa says the Caymanians did not immediately embrace Fidel Castro's 1959 revolution.
Los caimaneros pidieron de que se le aprobara aquello como una colonia independiente.
The Caymanians requested that the town be approved as an independent colony, and Fidel said that they could live in Cuba as long as they wanted, but that it was Cuban territory and would stay that way.
The Cuban Revolution brought dramatic changes to the lives of Cocodrilo's residents. They now have a doctor, electricity, and steady work in nearby agricultural, fishing, and forestry cooperatives. But the revolution also closed the Lutheran church, the English school, and irrevocably changed the town both in name and character by resettling Spanish-speaking Cubans there from elsewhere on the island. Most of the remaining English-speaking Caymanians returned to the Cayman Islands when Cuba's economy worsened in the 1990s. Some fled by boat, reversing the 180-mile voyage their great-grandparents had made a century before.
From this valley, they say, you are going. Oh, how sad and how lonely it will be. Just because you are weary and tired, they say you are going away.
Agustin Suebe still remembers the popular American songs he picked up off the radio as a teenager, like Red River Valley and Goodnight Irene. He lives today with his daughter and granddaughter in a small, tidy blue house facing the sea. Occasionally, he still speaks English with his neighbor Winston Powery. But Winston, he says, usually prefers to answer him in Spanish. For NPR News, I'm Nick Miroff.